The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this second day of May 2023. And all of these are the beginning of sorrows. We'll be talking about that. That was the title of the message this week. Tonight we have out there that upcoming young radio star, Style, on the board.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, and we have that longtime co-host, my old buddy, none other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
A child of the kingdom, and forever I am. Glad to be with you again, boss.
Alrighty. So we've got so much to cover tonight. We've got to really get into it. If I last during this program, boy, it's been a tough year. It has been a tough year. So we're going to just give it the best shot.
My wife had kind of mentioned if you and I had taken better care of ourselves over the years, we might not be in this shape.
Well, they got a good point there, right?
how
were we to know we were going to live this long?
I sure didn't.
In this ministry over the years, you know, especially in the pro-life movement, I've had them try to kill me so many times. Also during the prison ministry, there was so much. I had a number of attempts to pay for on my life, I come to the conclusion, hey, listen, nothing can happen to me until the Lord's finished with me. So I just kept going on the way we were. But, here we are now. Let's pick it up where we left off. And that was on verse 9.
Of Matthew chapter 24.
Correct.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
Well, you know what?
They sound too good, does it?
Well, that's what we were just talking about. That's kind of happening. Now, Joe, you know, this prophecy that you just read has been ongoing. It's a prophecy that takes place between the first coming and the second. The entire time between the Lord's first coming and his second coming is the fulfilling of this prophecy. But this will be a good time to jump over to Luke chapter 21, if you would. And let's pick it up in verse 8. Here now, as we do this, we're seeing that today Christians are being persecuted by Israel, by the apostate Jews, by Muslims, by the communists, the Satanist, Democrats, they're all
this. Over the world, everybody is after the Christians.
The Hindus, you're right. They're, in fact, going back to the early times, the Baptists suffered tremendous persecution from the Roman Catholic Church.
church, right? The early real church, the true church, the Baptists that were, you know, followers of John the Baptist in the early churches. More Christians were killed by Rome than any other, the Roman Catholic Church, rather than Rome.
Absolutely. Let's go to verse 8 and 21 and read me verse 8 all the way through verse 19, and then we'll come back and do some commentary.
Okay, 8 to 19. And he said, and this is Jesus, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences. Fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls."
Well, Joe, let's go back to verse 14. "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer." Now, you and I have both been arrested for doing the gospel, doing the Lord's work, being out for saving babies, preaching where they've said you're not allowed to preach the gospel or in the name of Jesus, and I've been arrested, I know, many times for rescuing babies out in front of those bloody, bloody whorehouses of death called abortion clinics. They call them clinics, geez. But anyhow...
Yeah, that's a oxymoron.
Yeah. And so we've been drug into court, and I've been in there up against the ACLU time and time again. Verse 14, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate therefore what you shall answer." You're not quite sure. You know that they're sleazy. They're evil. They're wicked. The ACLU is an antichrist. They are antichrist from the pit of hell. Anyhow, before what you answer, so never knowing what they're going to ask, and you know what? God did that. Every single time, Joe, he gave me the right answer. And Joe, and every single time over all of those years, I always got the better of them. Every time I got the better of them. And so, right there in the heathen courts, right in the heathen courts. And so, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." And that has been every time, Joe. And when they've... brought me in to question me time and time again in the opposition, I've always the good Lord has always given me exactly what I need to say to completely confuse the enemy. They didn't know how to deal with it. And so then it goes on to say,
well, the key there that mentioned is he's asking the disciples and those of us that follow, just trust in me. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. When the time comes, I'll give you what you need. And it comes down to that word, faith. And that's what's sorely lacking in this world today, is people really have lost in my opinion, a great deal of that faith that comes to...
That's true, but mostly, Joe, it's got to do with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
It's right. not you that's speaking.
Have it to have good faith.
Well, yeah, it's not us that does the speaking. It's the Holy Ghost through us that is answering those questions, and that's what he's talking about. And then he goes on to say, "And you shall be betrayed both by parents, by brethren, by kinsfolk, by friends." And some of you, they should cause to be put together. Well, you know, this started all the way back. Do you think that the Lord Jesus, remember, the first converts were all Jews. Do you think that the Lord Jesus divided the families up? Jesus said, I come to set father against brothers, mother against daughter. Do you think...
Father against son, yeah. He came, he said, I came to divide, is what he said, basically, right?
Yeah, now... He wasn't saying that that's why he wanted, but the purpose was those that would receive Christ would be at total odds against those that would reject him.
Right, and it can be your own family, your neighbors and friends. Yep.
And that's been an ongoing process for 2,000 years, hasn't it?
Sure has.
But now, have you ever seen a time...
Even more so today, because people are more willing to give up their neighbor than ever before that I know of.
They are. We're living in the time, going back to where we were talking about the evil day, the day of sorrows, or of birth pains, or the days of travail. That is we're living that now today, real time. It's real time. And what are some of the things that have really helped to divide the families? Of course, those that are saved, those that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are much less likely, much, much less likely to take the kill shot, aren't they?
Yes.
And
much
so,
less likely.
Was that a cause of dissension between the families, those that would refuse to take the shot? What were they telling people that if someone in there didn't take the shot, they could have...
You were going to kill grandma and grandpa, yeah.
Yeah.
They were scaring them with, you know, you were going to kill the old folks.
But actually, it was working exactly the opposite of that, huh? Because of shedding. It wasn't the people that didn't take the shot that were shedding. It was those that took the shot that were shedding, right?
Right. Well, a lot more of those died than those of us that just got the bug.
Oh, yeah. I mean, many more died from the shot than died from the COVID.
COVID, yeah.
And so people were angry because they bought it. They didn't know any better. They were so indoctrinated, so dumbed, and I mean dumbed, and I mean really dumbed way on down. They
well,
were so...
The school started controlling that way back in the, you know, really in the 60s that I can recall very well, you know, that hey, ho, Western civilization's got to go. And ever since... They've learned that they started out, remember, it was the war against the sexes. They pitted male against female. Then it was young against old. It was rich against poor. They've always find something, and the majority of the people kind of gone along with it. But going clear back, it's always been a division. Now, of course, everything is racist roads, racist bridges. Everything on earth now is racist, which means nothing is if everything is. But it's always been what the communists have planned, divide and conquer. And this goes back here to divide the family over the Lord. Satan, the synagogue of Satan, Christ, the followers of Christ, and the followers of the Antichrist system. And nothing has changed except they changed the words in the people in conflict to keep it fresh and different.
So you had those racist roads and those racist overpasses and those racist bridges. What about school buses? I mean, were there were there school buses that were not only racist school buses, but also racist and sexist?
Oh, I forgot about the sexist part. Yeah, well, that was way back. They started the Battle of the Sexes as one of the first divisions they used to divide the people, you know.
So,
War of the Sexes, remember?
So, you know, if you, if a feminist didn't agree with you, then you had to be a sexist, right?
Right, if you didn't agree with them, if you said that, well, this is what God said, oh, then you were, yeah, you know, you were really out of it.
Absolutely. I remember...
We're going to throw off the patriarchal system. It doesn't matter if God created it, we've got to destroy it, because we want what we want when we want it, and we want it now.
I remember, speaking of that, that was... you know, my wife and I refer to each other, you know, I always call her mom, and she calls me dad. We've been doing that for decades, and we've just done that. You know, she refers me as dad or pastor dad, and, you know, around the children especially. So one day in church, we had gone out to lunch afterwards, and there were some new people with us that came. And one of the new people, one of the women, was a psychologist, Joe.
Oh, a psychologist. What
yeah.
Those?
And she, when I referred to my wife as mom, she says, how sexist that is. And my wife said, what kind of a fool are you?
Sexist.
Yeah.
I am a wife and mother, yeah, you know.
Yeah, and then one time years ago, I was working in a prison, and one of the administrators there was an Oriental lady, a very, very petite, very small, and we were talking, and I says, well, I said, obviously, good things come in small packages. I was just joking with her. She's very, very...
Yeah. There, I mean, it was a kind of a backhanded compliment.
And some of those standing close by said, how sexist that was. That was, these people are paranoid, and really, I hate to say it, but they're stupid, Joe. You know? I mean, they really are, just to say
so
such
they're
things.
They're overly sensitive to everything. They've gotten to the point in this world that everything's offensive, everything offends. Everything is a, what's the word to use, trigger. Oh, it's a trigger that sets off an emotional attack of panic and fear and, oh, you know.
Well, what you have is, you have people that you might say are morally challenged, in their terminology, morally challenged. They sat around and they came up with sound bites and little clips that people, and then these other people that are, again, the Bible refers to them over there in Proverbs too as those that are simple-minded, the simple-minded. And you have these people that are politically correct, or they're called woke. They're simple-minded, and they hear what the garbage that these people who sit around and make up these things and spew this stuff out, and they pick it up and they believe it because they're, again, mentally challenged in so many different ways, and morally, especially morally challenged. That reminds me to hear today the Democrats talking about going after Justice Thomas for being, now the Democrats, On ethics. Now, what in the world does a Democrat know about ethics? What does a Democrat know about truth or decency and honor? And I believe it was head of the in the Senate there, and I'm trying to think of his name right now. But to hear him referring to, I mean, this guy is not worthy to tie Justice Clarence Thomas' shoes. Okay, Clarence Thomas is a man of stature. He's probably the best I would have to say, in my opinion, the most capable intellectual and honest
jurist we have.
Absolutely, that would be my opinion. Okay,
and I agree wholeheartedly. Yes, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant man. He knows the law. He knows the Constitution. He is totally honest, and he follows the Constitution. That's the thing that drives them all nuts, is that he follows what the Founding Fathers stated and set up, and he understood what the system was supposed to do, and he goes along with it.
Absolutely. Well, Joey, let's go back.
Use him to be an instrument of change.
Yeah,
that's why he's hated.
Because of time, we have to finish this. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall be caused to be put to death. Again, we have never seen in our lifetimes more betrayal, more division in the families. And there's a lot of reason. Those smart aleck phones are a big cause of division. Feminism is a super cause of division. The whole woke movement, the Antichrist system,
started with political correctness, which was really cultural Marxism, and the political correctness
right, the public,
into wokeism.
The entire public, what they call state-run education system. And so here, and then add to that the fake news media. There you go, all the elements. And you shall be hated from all men for my name's sake. Now, our namesake is what we're called, Christians.
Christians. We've taken our father's name.
Absolutely. Right? But there shall not be a hair of your head perish. People say, Pastor, what? Look, he just told us we were going to be killed. And now he's telling us, but there's not going to be a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess you your soul. He's talking about we are going to become immortal. He's talking about that
we will be given a glorified body that will last forever, that'll be impervious to anything but God.
So he's telling us, look, trust me, I can produce it, I can do it. I can not only just tell you, but I can do what I'm telling you. And is he right, Joe?
Look at when Christ died. That day that he resurrected, the dead in Christ that had risen from their graves were seen walking around Jerusalem. Well, it didn't say they looked like cadavers, bones, bare bones with, you know, sockets and mummies walking around. The people had risen from the grave and were walking around as they had been in life.
Yep. You know, Joe, we've got... famous
proof.
Yep. You know, Joe, this is... we've got Salem has made a deal with us till June 1st. They said if we can come up with an extra 100,000 by then, they will add to that by knocking off an additional 50,000 off our, you know, off our bill. And so, Joe, I just wanted to say this: those six stations that we went off of, one of them, Joe, is Portland, Oregon. Do you know if we could get people to designate Portland? We only need $12,000. $12,000. You know, we bring in much more than that many times every week. Every week we have to bring in. But it's got to be designated. In other words, like Salem says, on that check, it's got to say Portland, Oregon. And if we could get people out there, now let's just say you want to give to Cleveland, but so you're writing a check for $200, And you want to say, okay, I want 150 go to Cleveland, but I'll give 50 to Portland. If we could do that, we could go back on Portland fairly soon. And those, we have some very, very nice people out there. I get the letters from them and saying how much they miss in the area that they're in. How our station was a godsend for them out there, a voice out there, and. We definitely was a voice that the Antichrist communists out there didn't care much for. But if you folks want to do that, if you want to say, you know, give 10% or 20% of whatever and designate it to Portland, we could be back on Portland Now, the other one, Joe, is Little Rock.
Little Rock, yeah.
In Arkansas. We only need 14,000. We only need 14,000 to go back on there in Little Rock. And if we could do that, and we could be back up on those two stations right away. But anyhow, folks,
I want to add something real quick before the break. If our listeners out there, every one of our regular listeners, sent in $1 or $5, we could be on all the stations and wouldn't have to do any fundraising for years, period. So just I want everybody out there to think about that simple thought. If all of you who have listened to the program or listen, you know, regularly, would send in $1 to $5, there would be no problem doing anything and wouldn't have to mention money for years.
All right, let me just clarify this. Joe is not telling you folks to send in what you normally tithe to drop that down to $1, okay?
No.
Because we have people that
I'm
send in.
I'm talking about all the listeners that do not donate.
Right. Now, anytime you have a ministry like this one here on the radio, you normally will never get more than 1%. If you can get 3% of the actually people actually carrying their share, doing their part, actually, that is good. And that's about what we get. We get about between 1% and 3% of the people listening out there will actually do their share.
Right. But, so if we even got twice that, 6 to 10%, we would be, what's the old phrase in the country, in hog heaven.
Yep, in hog heaven. Anyhow, listen, I got to switch over here for 1 minute because there's a very good friend of mine. His name is Bill. And Bill, he runs a business called Crystal Clear Glass Cleaning. Now, every now and then there's a company that does exceptional business. And because when they do exceptional business, we give them an ad. And that's what we're going to do with Bill here. He runs an exceptional business, but he's not looking for more business. He's looking for employees. He's looking for help out there today. So you folks out there in Geauga, Lake, Ashtabula, Trumbull, Portage, or Cuyahoga counties, this guy is good to work with. He'll train you right away. It's called Crystal Clear Glass. And what they do is they clean windows. And it's a great opportunity for a hardworking, responsible person who's working now and wants to change. Now, this would be for men. This would be for men, and I'll tell you why, Joe, because, well, it's a career opportunity. Like Bill said, he's not getting any younger. He's looking for someone to kind of run the business for him. He's established and still growing. He's been in business for 16 years. Now, he's looking for people that are drug-free. You do have to take a drug test. Non-smoking. Honest, and it's really honest and satisfying work. Our customers love us. They do. We get a lot of good. He gets a lot of good response from his customers. And you get paid lunch breaks. Your lunch breaks are paid. And so you need a valid driver's license, and you need to be able to, from time to time, to lift 200 pounds on occasion and to work on various ladders and sometimes rooftops, outdoor physical work. We're kind of looking for the real manly men type guys. And so he will train. The number you call is 440-834-0411. 440-834-0411, folks, and he will train. And believe me, you guys out there listening that are out of work, you say you're looking for work, I would try him. I've known a number of people that have worked for him before, and they all said it was great. He was just a great guy to work with. So we'll be back right after this with more.
What would you say if someone decided that Shakespeare's plays, Charles Dickens' novels, or the music of Beethoven could be rewritten and improved? I'll be right back. Writing in the journal The Alternative, Richard Hanser, author of The Law and the Prophets and Jesus, What Manner of Man Is This?, has called attention to something that is more than a little mind-boggling. It's my understanding that the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, has been the best-selling book in the entire history of printing. Now another attempt has been made to improve it. I say another because there have been several fairly recent efforts to, quote, make the Bible more readable and understandable, unquote. But as Mr. Hanser so eloquently says, for more than 3.5 centuries, its language and its images have penetrated more deeply into the general culture of the English-speaking world and been more dearly treasured than anything else ever put on paper. He then quotes the irreverent H.L. Mencken, who spoke of it as purely a literary work, and said it was probably the most beautiful piece of writing in any language. They were, of course, speaking of the authorized version, the one that came into being when the England of King James was scoured for translators and scholars. It was a time when the English language had reached its peak of richness and beauty. Now we're to have the Good News Bible, which will be in, quote, the natural English of everyday adult conversation. Well, I'm sure the scholars and clergymen supervised by the American Bible Society were sincerely imbued with the thought that they were taking religion to the people with their Good News Bible. But I can't help feeling we should instead be taking the people to religion and lifting them with beauty of language that has outlived the centuries. Mr. Hanser has quoted from both the St. James Version and the Good News Bible some well-known passages for us to compare. A few thousand years ago, Job said, "How forcible are right words." The new translators would have him saying, "Honest words are convincing." That's only for openers. There is the passage, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Is it really an improvement to say instead, "The wiser you are, the more worries you have, the more you know, the more it hurts"? In the New Testament, according to Matthew, we read, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way." The Good News Version translates that into, "Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready." It sounds like a straw boss announcing lunch hour is over. The hauntingly beautiful 23rd Psalm is the same in both versions, for a few words. "The Lord is my shepherd." But instead of continuing with the "I shall not want," we're supposed to say, "I have everything I need." The Christmas story has undergone some modernizing, but one can hardly call it an improvement. The wondrous words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," has become, "Don't be afraid, I'm here with good news for you." The sponsors of the Good News Version boast that their Bible is as readable as the daily paper, and so it is. But do readers of the daily news find themselves moved to wonder, quote, "at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth," unquote? Mr. Hanser suggests that, sadly, the tinkering and general horsing around with the sacred text will no doubt continue as pious drudges try to get it right. It will not dawn on them that it has already been gotten right. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Boy, did you get that right, Mr. President. Absolutely, positively. Hey, Joe, today's May 2nd. Kind of a birthday, isn't it?
Well, yeah, in a sense, it's a very historic day. Back in 1611, that wonderful King James Bible was first published. And, what most Americans don't know, it helped fuel the American Revolution, the Revolution of the Colonies. And one of the big impetus, one of the big factors in that revolution was that Bible in the hands of the citizens there, the people of America. Because, one, it was a small enough version, two, that they could carry it with them, that the soldiers could all have a copy of the Bible.
Hmm. Yeah, you know what? I remember when I went in, they gave us a King James Bible. That we all got one back then.
Yeah, we did.
And Barack Obama tried to keep. He tried to.
He took that away, didn't he, from the military? We also got a soldier's book of prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer book for soldiers, especially for soldiers.
Absolutely. And so, yeah.
Of course, they don't do that anymore either, do they? From what I've heard.
Well, and I actually proofread the military version of a Bible. You probably have one up for the military and the police officers and that. They asked me, the Bible says, to proofread it, and I did it for them. And I only found two errors. And, yeah. Well, very good. Joe, you know what? There's a rumor that... Michelle Obama is, now is the time, not only do they want we're past the idea of a woman president, but a transgender president, and this is the year of the trans thing. And so it looks like she's running a stealth campaign. Go ahead, style it. Take it away.
That's why she's out on her book tour.
Got some urgent and disturbing breaking news for you now. Michelle Obama's secret presidential campaign has been exposed. Newt Gingrich reveals the truth behind her recent high-profile appearances, and the implications are staggering. Are we on the brink of a third Obama presidency? How will this impact the 2024 election, and should Republicans be worried? Stay with us as we uncover the hidden strategy behind Michelle Obama's potential rise to power. I'm Gary Franchi. I want you to stay informed, subscribe below, and enable notifications for the latest news and updates on Obama's possible third reign. As America gears up for the 2024 presidential election, whispers of a formidable contender have begun to circulate. Michelle Obama, the former First Lady and beloved figure among Democrats, appears to be quietly preparing for a bid. Newt Gingrich, speaking to Fox News, has warned that recent public appearances by Mrs. Obama, including those alongside Oprah and Bruce Springsteen, are the first steps in her covert campaign. With Biden's waning popularity and the Democrats divided, Michelle Obama emerges as a significant threat to both parties. Gingrich, in his warning to the nation, urges Republicans to pay close attention to Michelle Obama's recent activities. Her appearances with Oprah and Springsteen, both influential left-wing figures, are out of character for the typically private former First Lady. Gingrich highlighted a particular event in Los Angeles where Michelle drew a crowd of 9,000 people alongside Oprah. He said, "I think Republicans had better pay significant attention to Michelle Obama. I hadn't believed that until I saw her on stage with Bruce Springsteen, and I thought, this is not a person who's hiding. Watch."
I was very struck when Mark Halperin in his Wide World of News ran the video of Michelle Obama on stage with Bruce Springsteen. She's playing a tambourine. She recently had 9,000 people at an event with Oprah in Los Angeles. I think Republicans had better pay significant attention to Michelle Obama. I hadn't believed that until I saw her on stage with Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. I thought, you know, this is not a person who's hiding. So it's conceivable that Susan Rice and others are beginning to say they're not going to be part of some kamikaze reelection campaign with a guy who can't remember what he did yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the video as well on Twitter, and apparently they're traveling with Steven Spielberg and his wife. And she got up on stage again, sparking my questions about Susan Rice stepping down.
Michelle Obama's potential entry into the presidential race presents a significant challenge for the current administration, given the president's declining approval ratings and the internal divisions within the Democrat Party. Additionally, the Obama's overall high favorability rating, particularly among Democrats, make her a formidable candidate against any Republican contender, including Donald Trump. It's important to note that in a November 2022 interview, Michelle Obama expressed her disinterest in pursuing a presidential bid. Responding to questions about a presidential run, she said, "No, I'm not going to run." However, political smoke screens are not uncommon, and Gingrich seems to believe this might be the case with Mrs. Obama. Republicans must consider the possibility of facing Michelle Obama in a 2024 election, as her popularity, coupled with the Democrats' need for a unifying figure, could propel her to the forefront of the race. The GOP cannot afford to underestimate the challenge she presents, as doing so could lead to a third Obama presidency and a major shift in the political landscape. In light of Gingrich's warning, it's crucial for both Democrats and Republicans to prepare for the potential impact of Michelle Obama's entry into the race. Her background, charisma, and connection to the Obama administration could make her an attractive option for voters dissatisfied with the current administration and seeking change. Her appeal extends beyond the Democrat base, potentially attracting independent and moderate voters as well. As the 2024 election approaches, all eyes will be on Michelle Obama to see if she officially throws her hat into the ring. If she does, it's certain to shake up the race and force both parties to reevaluate their strategies moving forward. In a stunning revelation, Newt Gingrich's warning of the secret rise of Michelle Obama in the 2024 presidential race. As the nation watches closely for any signs confirming this, the potential impact on both major parties cannot be ignored. With the stage set for a high-stakes election, Michelle Obama's possible entry into the race could dramatically shift the balance of power. Will Republicans heed Gingrich's warning and prepare for a formidable challenge that she presents? As the race for the White House intensifies, stay tuned for more updates on this developing story and its potential implications for America's future. Let's continue the conversation in the comments below. For the Next News Network, I'm Gary Franchi.
Alrighty, we're back. Jill, listen, what do you think? I mean, here, the Democrats right now are refusing to have any debates. In other words, it's like a Gestapo. The dictator, Obama Biden, says, no, I'm not going to debate anybody. I want to cut anybody out. I want to give RFK or that woman, I don't want them to even have an opportunity to get before the people. Therefore, in the fake news media, the state-run news media will do whatever we tell them to do. They will do, and they will freeze out, and they will cancel any Robert F. Kennedy or RFK Jr., whatever opposition we have, they will cancel out. Now, if Michelle Obama comes sliding along, then Joe Obama, he'll be given the orders to stand down, won't he? I mean, he'll just be given the orders to stand down, and now Michelle will become the automatic, transgender. That adds to that, to them. That's in her stock, because this is the year of the queer. This is the real, I'm going to tell you, the time of total reprobate degeneration. Now, but look, what would happen? Just think about this, Joe. Can you imagine a debate between Donald Trump and Michelle Obama? What do you think?
Boy, I hadn't given that one a lot of thought. It would be what he's done versus what she wants to do, her vision of the world. And her vision of the world is socialism. And you and I have been giving warnings and warnings and warnings on socialism. Different people, from socialist countries, from communist countries, people, educated people like Victor David Hansen. And I was just thinking, today was that celebration of the King James Bible back in 1611. And I was thinking, maybe that Bible, that King James Bible, still the best-sold book in the world. Maybe that would help save and start, got the American Revolution going. Maybe it would start a new revival that would throw off the communist revolution that we are in the middle of. We've been telling people we are under assault. They are trying to foment a communist, a socialist revolution on us, and they have the education establishment, they have the media, they have the deep state. They have a lot of the rich, wealthy in the military-industrial complex behind them, many in Wall Street trying to consolidate power for a one-world type government. And we need a revival to have a counter-revolution. We call ourselves, you called this very poignantly, the voice of the Christian resistance, and we need a counter-revolution to kick the commies out. It's that simple. And maybe that King James Bible, we get people turning to it, reading it, studying it, believing it. We have the power of the Holy Spirit behind us. We can throw out the Antichrist system.
We can. Okay, and look, it's, Joe, it's like this, if you come in and you come to your house, and there's a faucet running in your sink, and it's overflowing the sink. Joe, you know that if you turn that faucet off, the water will quit running, huh?
Exactly.
It's a pretty sure thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what's more sure than that. What's something that is much more sure than that. But you have to understand that. That is the Word of God. You see, He tells you, look, I can fix that. I'll fix your problems. I'll heal your nation.
Right. Yep.
Here's what you have to do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, when his people, first of all, acknowledge their sin and repent. This coming Thursday is a national day of prayer. But the problem of it is people have to be smart enough. They have to be smart enough, Joe, to understand that God, the power in the Word of God, and the absolute accuracy, and how God, how He will always, always, Joe, affirm
what He says. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, when you just quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, in verse 15, God continues, "Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place."
And so
he has his eyes open, his ears open, and he's waiting for his people to what? Humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways and turn back to him. And the best way to do that is to start with the King James Bible, start with God's own word, right?
Right. And you know what, Joe? We could start right tonight with all of the folks out there that are listening to us from coast to coast. There's a lot of people out there listening to us. Now, the people that listen to us are people that are much more likely to believe the Word of God. And so, what does the Bible say about the prayers of a righteous man?
They're very effectual.
And they availeth much. So why don't you go ahead and let's pray. Well, I'll do it. Let's pray. Folks out there listening, just, you know, follow me and repeat after me as we call upon the name of the Lord. America is sick and America is bleeding and our children are sick and dying and committing suicide. And folks, but God hears your prayer. Listen, believe me, God will hear your prayer. God will always honor. God will always honor. He's the only one you can completely, totally trust your commitment. So just listen. Join in the prayer tonight. And as I pray, join in and pray with me. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you tonight. People from coast to coast, we've come before you tonight. Lord, we acknowledge, Father God, that we were sinners. We acknowledge, Father God, that America has left you. America has forgotten you. And we're coming here, Lord. We're asking you, Father God, to forgive America. Forgive America, Lord. We have so much biblical literacy out there. There's so many simple-minded. But we're come, or your people are listening, and like Moses interceded for Israel, Lord, we're coming trying to intercede for America. We're asking you, Father God, Lord, we're asking you to hear these prayers, to forgive us our trespasses, our sins, and Lord, to send a healing. Let there be an awakening. Let there be an awakening and a revival in America. Lord, raise up righteous men and women, bold people, Father God. Lord, people that are absolutely, completely, and totally sold out, Lord, to the cause of Christ. Let that happen, Father. We're asking you, we're begging you right now, Lord, to let that be. Give us revival. Help us restore America back to one nation under God, the way you gave it to us. These things we ask now in the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen.
We got about 4 minutes left right now, Joe, before we go into the break. I wanted to do this real quick. I just wanted to remind people that Anthony Blinken lied before Congress. Anthony Blinken can hide before Congress. He told you, Joe, about those 50, they keep telling you about those 50 intelligence agency to sign that fake letter that lied, that we're willing. They won't tell you about how many refused to do it, how many refused to tell that lie. But Anthony Blinken, Joe, Anthony Blinken lied, according to Senator Ron Johnson. He lied, bold-faced, lied to Congress. That's a federal offense, Joe. And Anthony Blinken needs to be brought to justice for that. He needs to be brought to justice for that.
And he's still lying today.
Yep. Okay. All righty. We have a good article. Corrupt Arizona election official weaponizing sanctions against Carrie Lake, Abe Hamedeth, and Mark Thickman to target legitimate claims and discourage election challenges. This one's going to take a little bit, so I really can't get into it right now. Excuse me, folks out there. I still am fighting this pneumonia, but eventually we're going to win it. We're going to beat it. And so we have coming up, Joe, in the next hour, you have heard about, can you believe it? The act, this act that they're trying to pass, that they're pushing on us, the Restrictive Act, Restriction Act. This is pure police state, absolute, complete police state. And this is what Obama and the Communist Party, this is what they're planning on pushing. And they're doing it because the vast majority of people in the country are still asleep. They're still clueless. They're still la-la-landers. If these people out there really understood what's in that act, okay, they would have actually come up out of their sleep and awaken. And we're going to play a little bit of a clip and talk about this Restrict Act, okay? Hopefully, we've got it the right clip potted up to do that. How much time do I have there, Style? Okay. So, there you go. Meanwhile, Joe, we're coming up 2 minutes to the break. $670 million. Joe, what is the most wicked, evil, ungodly, the most sinister organization that has killed more human beings than any army in the world? It's called Planned Parenthood. There is horrible, there is evil, there is wicked, as wicked gets. They're satanic, and now, thanks to Joe Obama Biden, thanks to that godless man of sin, Joe Obama Biden, even your own daughter refers to you as a pedophile. You're a wicked man, Joe Obama, and you're a cowardly little man. And Joe Obama, you need, God's word, the Bible says this, that you need to repent. You've done so much evil. Joe Biden, you have done so much evil. God's word, the Bible, Joe, tells you you need to repent. Joe, if you die today, Joe, there's a burning lake of fire that's waiting for you. Hell has opened. She's opened her mouth wide, Joe. And I'm trying to tell you, Joe, you're old. You're wicked, Joe, right now. And there's an old saying, there's no fool like an old fool. Joe, do it now. Repent. Repent before it's too late, Joe. I mean, and all of you Democrats, you better listen, pay close attention. God's not stuttering. Okay, we're coming up to the break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the Restrict Act. Be back right after this. So don't go away. Be right back. A whole lot more to come. Be right back.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. Be the man. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.